you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Welcome to the conference calling center. At any time during this message, please enter your passcode.
Hello?
Welcome to the conference calling center. At any time during this message, please enter your passcode followed by the pound key. Your passcode has been confirmed and you are the first caller to this conference. Please wait while others join.
Hello?
Hello. Bennett Olmos here.
Hi, this is Wife.
I'm sorry?
Is this like a telecom conference?
It's supposed to be. No one else has arrived yet, but we'll give them a couple more minutes.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Can I ask who you are?
Yes, I'm Ben Edelman. I'm webcasting the teleconference.
Oh, I see. So I'm the first one.
Yes. Can you keep talking to give me a level test for the webcast?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
So this is going to be casted, like, to people who wanted to listen to, right?
Yes, through the internet.
Javier.
Hello?
Hello? Is this YJ?
Yeah, this is YJ. Are you Javier?
Yes.
Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I'm the first, and I speak to you at a second.
Yeah, okay. What is it, Wes?
Hi, this is Victoria Carrington. I just wanted to mention, I think you all know that Jonathan Cohn is currently in Geneva at the WIPO e-commerce conference, so he will not be able to attend this conference call, but he did ask if he could come on. Now, I'm not sure if there are enough lines.
There's one for them, for each one of them, for him and Ted, so there should be enough lines.
I think also, I'm not sure also if Ted can make it. Caroline apparently has both Jonathan's and Ted's proxy, but again, I'm also not sure if she can come on. However, like, obviously I won't vote in anything, so I haven't been given anyone's proxies, just so I can at least keep Jonathan up to date.
No, they have both sent their proxies to Caroline.
Great, okay then, super.
Well, actually, as far as I know, like, Catherine Kleinman from SDN Agency, she will not be available either. Because she said, she would have some ICOM meeting because some drafting committee.
Uh-huh.
So
she would not be here either.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So maybe so many people seem to not be available today, I guess.
Yeah.
This is Richard Lindsay calling from Japan.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Richard. Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Hello, Dennis Jennings calling from Dublin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good evening, or...
Good morning, good evening, and good night.
Yeah, right.
Can I ask who's on the call so far?
This is Lizzie.
This is Victoria Barrington.
Okay, let me just tick off the names. That's Victoria, you're there?
Yes, I'm here for Jonathan, just to listen in and pass on the info to him.
And YJ, you're there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Javi, I think I heard your voice.
Yep. It's Nigel.
Nigel, how are you?
Hi, Dennis. Hold on, I just made one transfer this.
Is that us? That's a lot so far?
Ken Stubbs just coming in.
Hello, Ken. You survived the hurricane.
Yeah, we got lucky. We had what for you would be about between 120 and 130 kilometer winds and about 6 to 8 inches of rain, but the eye of the hurricane stayed off the coast. And
we call that a wet day in Ireland.
Yes.
That's pretty violent.
No, it's still pretty bad out there. Waves out in the middle of the ocean right now, and the coastline took a terrible battering, but it's the Carolinas that are really going to get hit hard. So,
there's no chance of it petering out before it hits there?
Oh, no. 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 The sustained winds are still running between 210 and 230 kilometers at this point in time, and it's still over warm water, so it's just the only hope you have is that a weather front might blow it back out into the middle of the Atlantic, but it doesn't look like that at this point in time.
Hello?
Hello, who's that?
Hello, this is Patricio Poblete from Santiago de Chile.
Hello, Patricio. How are you? Dennis Jennings here.
Oh, hi, Dennis.
At the moment, we have yourself and myself and Nigel from the CCTLDs. We have Javier from the business community. We have YJ from the non-commercial. We've Ken Stubbs from registrars. And we've Jonathan Cohen. Sorry, we have Victoria Carrington for Jonathan Cohen from the intellectual property group.
And also,
in Geneva.
I thought I heard Richard Lindsay on there too.
You got me here, Dennis.
Oh, hi, Richard. How are you? Welcome.
I apologize if I won't be totally up to speed because I've been preoccupied for the last 2.5 days with this crazy thing. So I can't find the agenda on here. I know it. I can't remember who sent the agenda out. Whether it's Elizabeth or okay.
Elizabeth sent the public announcement. As far as I know, it was the same as the agenda that I posted, and Amadeo had some comments. We'll go through the agenda anyway. It's the first item on the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, the Bertrand Center webpage has the agenda too.
Good.
Good. I have it right now.
Good. Somebody came in?
Yeah, Amadeo.
Amadeo, how are you? Welcome.
Thanks.
Hello?
Hello, someone new come in?
Yeah, Heroes K Hotel come in.
Hello, this is Teresa Swinehart. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, Teresa, you made it. I thought you were lost in Europe.
I'm in Geneva at the airport and just had to check in and then find a phone.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, but I'm here.
Did I hear Hirofumi Hotel check in there?
Yes.
Yes,
I'm
hello.
Here.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
Hello.
Well,
I believe Elizabeth Chacoin is still scheduled to go on the call. I saw a note from
Caroline.
Who's this?
Caroline. I'm sorry. Caroline.
Now, as a matter of procedure, could we just say our names before we say anything? Because... Hello?
With hello?
Somebody...
Is that my phone doing that?
It sounds like somebody's either got somebody ringing on their other line or somebody's got a problem with the phone.
If the noise from the airport's too disruptive, then I'll just give my votes or proxy or whatever to somebody else.
No problem, Teresa. I may have difficulty recognizing the voices in the discussion. I've never chaired a telephone conference of this many people. So you might help me by saying who you are reasonably frequently. You wouldn't mind. Somebody joined us there? Dennis speaking here.
Can I make a suggestion, Dennis? Maybe what we could do is at least have you go through the agenda at this point in time, wait another 2 or 3 minutes, and then possibly take a formal role. I think by then the majority of the people that will be attending the call will be on.
I think
I saw Jonathan Cohen at the meeting I was at, so I don't know.
Well, Victoria is here in Jonathan's place.
Yeah, well,
oh, okay, perfect.
Delegated their votes on Caroline. But is Caroline on the line?
Not yet, I believe. I'd like to follow Ken's suggestion. Go through the agenda and then take a roll call after a few more beeps and a few more people have joined us.
Oh, Ken, are you there?
Yes.
Well, wow.
Actually, who's that?
Dennis, this is Don Talage. I just joined.
Hello, Don. How are you?
Great.
I'm going to go through the agenda now, and so then we'll take a roll call. I don't have my screen in front of me, so I hope this is still the agenda. And if not, people can correct me. First item, discussion and adoption of the agenda. Second item, minutes and matters arising. Third item, the business plan and budget for the DNSO. Fourth item, election of ICANN board members. 5, election of prominent names council members. 6, working group D report. 7, schedule of meeting in Los Angeles. 8, any other business. And if I remember, Amodeo asked that his resolution on the warehousing should be put under any other business.
And can I also ask that the interim measures report from Working Group D with regards to Working Group C be added to the agenda?
Under Working Group D report, under item 6.
Oh, okay, that's perfect.
Yeah?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's what I intended. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. So.
Comment on the agenda.
Sorry, can someone repeat that?
Yeah, Dennis, it's Nigel. Comment on the agenda.
Yes, please.
A couple of points, actually. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to hang on the call. So, first of all, for admin reasons, if it wasn't clear from the email, if I disappear from the call, you have my proxy.
Thank you.
And the more important point was it would be helpful, I think, because the budget's likely to produce a long discussion, if we reverse the order of budget and elections on the agenda.
I would like to
propose that.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. In fact, I was going to come on to the order of the agenda because I think we should probably take the most immediate items and the ones we can deal with first and leave, as you suggest, Nigel, the business plan until later.
Dennis,
other?
Can I just add one thing? This is Teresa.
Yeah.
I have a flight at 4:50, so I may need to get off early. So if my proxy vote would go either to Javier or John England if they're on the phone.
Fine.
But just to have Javier do my proxy vote, because I don't know whether John's on the line or not.
I don't believe
so. Okay, then Javier's got my proxy.
That's some of the. Are we all sure that the proxies work with the name Scottsdale? That was a question I was going to ask. I tried to find out whether or not there was a problem with proxies. I think we need to establish some sort of a formal policy so we don't get into a situation down the road where someone questions a vote because the proxy system was not legitimate. I sent a request to Joe Sims and Louis to find out, based on their understanding, as to whether or not the proxies were acceptable, but never received a response from them.
Anyway, most of the votes will be held through email, so there's no proxy question there. Yeah, just for the teleconference, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I have no problem just providing either my vote or opinion as soon as I get to the other end of my destination by email to the Names Council list. So I don't care either way.
No, I'm not questioning proxies. Yeah. I was not sure that we have any accepted policy on that, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know.
That was my question, yeah?
May I suggest, as Chair Dennis here, that if we do have to poll the Names Council, that proxies count for the poll, but that any decision that we make should be formally ratified by some election, email vote process.
That's something that I think it's fair.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Ken Stubbs, I agree.
I agree, Phil.
Richard,
sounds good to me.
Yeah, I agree.
It just gives us a way of working forward. Now, mind you, we don't have, I think, formal rules on our email voting anyway, but let's be reasonable and move ahead.
Okay. Roll call?
All right. I have ticked off here, and I'll go through them by constituency in the order I have them listed here. CCTLDs, Dennis Jennings, Patricia Blebletto, and Nigel Roberts are present.
Tony Harris is also present.
Tony Harris is also present. Okay, still going through the constituency. The business community, Javier and Teresa are present. John is not present at this time. John England. GTLDs, with a full complement, Don is present. ISPs, Anthony Harris, Hirofumi Hotta are present, and Michael Schneider is not present at this time. Non-commercial, YJ Park is present, but I haven't heard from Raul Echeverria or Catherine Kleinman. Registrars, Amadeo, Richard Lindsay, and Ken Stubbs are present. Intellectual property, Victoria Carrington attending for Jonathan Cohen, and as far as I know, Caroline Chicoine and Ted Shapiro are not yet present. So that's our roll call at this time. The missing.
Do we even have sufficient for a quorum situation?
We do indeed,
or
I think.
Whatever procedure we have.
Yeah. Well,
we are more than half, yeah?
Okay.
There are 19 on my list, and I have only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of 19 missing. So I would think that's a quorum.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I didn't keep track on it.
Practical question. Is the webcasting working right now?
It was
a bit
ago. I hope so, but I haven't heard anybody come on from the...
This is YJ.
Yes, the webcast is working.
Okay, who's that voice who came in to say yes?
That was me, Ben.
Ben,
yes.
You're welcome.
Ben, would you do me a favor? Would you email to the Names Council, if it can be done without having to bring it through Elizabeth,
sure,
the URL for the webcast?
I can email it even to the list. It's nothing secret.
I know.
Right?
I know that. That's what I meant. I just
okay.
Went to the list. Yeah.
Yes, okay. I'll do that right now.
Thanks.
All right. I went through the agenda. We had a little bit of a discussion of it. We have a suggestion that we put the business plan to the end of the agenda because we don't have paperwork and it'll be a long discussion. Are there any objections to that?
Well, actually, this is YJ again, and I have some comment on election process.
Yes.
So if it's possible, we would like to look over Names Council members, permanent Names Council members election first, rather than ICOM board members, because first, I guess, permanent Names Council should be elected prior to board members.
Okay, let's take one suggestion at a time. Thank you, YJ.
Javier, yes. I think the largest discussion we have is board members, and we should put it in first place.
I second that motion, Tony Harris.
Yeah, I third that motion.
I think that we have a mini consensus on the election of the ICANN board members as our first important item. Now, YJ, you were suggesting that the permanent Names Council members go before that. Do you want to comment then on the proposal?
Well, because as far as I know, this permanent Names Council should be elected until October 8 or something. So this is going to be more the impending issue rather than ICOM board members, because we have some time with board members, but we don't have enough time to think about Names Council, permanent Names Council election.
I hear the comment. I would like, as chairman, to suggest, though, that because of time pressures, and because it's the Names Council has to agree the election of ICANN board members, that this is more urgent for this teleconference. And I would put that number one, if you don't mind, YJ. The election of permanent Names Council, number two. The working group D reports, number three. Schedule of LA meetings, number four, and the business plan, number five, in our order of priority.
And my motion probably for the next teleconference.
Nigel. Nigel, yes? Okay, just quickly. I think I've only got about half an hour on this call, so I've got about 10 or 15 minutes remaining. I just wanted to make a quick point on the procedure of discussing the election of ICANN board members. I just want to make sure that everybody got a copy of the alternative to Javier's proposal, which is very similar in many ways, because if I have to drop out of the call, I might not be here for discussion of that. I just want to make sure that you can make sure that that's discussed. If we
so which one? The one you sent or the one Dennis sent?
No, the one I sent. So that if we get to discussing the nitty-gritty of the election, as opposed to taking Amadeo's proposal of setting up an electoral commission to do it within 7 days, then if we do that, then I'd like to make sure that gets discussed, even if I manage to drop off the call.
All right, I think...
Does that make sense?
It does, and I think you can take it that as far as I can, and we will make sure that everything is discussed.
Thanks.
Now, I think, if I may, then we'll adopt the following agenda, unless there's anybody to say no. First of all, discussion and adoption of agenda, which I hope is complete. Minutes and matters arising, if we have any minutes of the last meeting or matters arising, I don't have them in front of me, so I need guidance there. And then into the substance, which is first, the election of the ICANN board members, next, election of the permanent names council members, then the working group D report, including Teresa's report on these measures, then, where am I losing track of myself, the DMS, schedule of LA meetings, the business plan, and your proposal, Amadeo, on warehousing last. Then.
Well, I propose we take minutes after the substantive issue.
Any objections to that?
Nope.
I don't have the minutes in front of me, so I'm a little at a disadvantage here. Were minutes circulated of the Names Council meeting, presumably on the website?
I don't think they were circulated.
Okay. So can we... I'll take an action to try and see that they are circulated for our next teleconference or meeting, and we'll take that item as done. All the matters arising arise on the agenda in my view. Any objections? All right. I'd like to move on to our first substantive item, which is the election of the ICANN board members. I think there has been quite a substantial discussion about that, and I'd like to open it for discussion and then see what we can, at this point, agree on as to how to move forward.
Have one comment, Nigel.
Nigel?
Okay, it seems that we are agreed that we need to try and move this forward quickly. I don't hear any objections to that. Therefore, I think the best way forward would be for a electoral commission to come up with detailed proposals, because otherwise we'll be discussing this for 3 or 4 hours on this call. That's my general proposal. If that's refused, I have specific proposals which I've circulated by email.
Javier,
just what I propose is that we
approve... Just ask Nigel, what date would you put on the report of the Electoral Commission?
What date do we have today? 8 days from today.
Plus 8 days. Javier.
Yeah. What I would propose that we have an experience. We have had an electoral commission for the last 3 weeks, almost, with no result at this point. What I would propose is that we approve something today. I have a motion for a set of rules, and that if the electoral commission comes with something different and that we will approve of it, we change the procedure. But I like to make sure that we have something now, because I'm not sure we're going to have something in 8 days.
Okay, can I come back on that?
Nigel, let me ask somebody else to come in first.
Yeah, this is Don Tarrant here.
Yes, Don.
Yes, I read all the proposals with interest. This is a difficult problem, and I empathize with everybody who's put forward the concept. One of my concerns with Javier's proposal, besides it would appear to be a significant amount of complexity to be sort of trying to make sure that we stay within some fairly narrowly prescribed rules, was that I had no confidence that it would lead to closure at any reasonable time. The prescription that requires
a candidate to receive 50% of a vote is a very difficult prescription, and I sat down and played some games on pieces of paper and decided that might be a not particularly common event. And so I'm not comfortable with what I understand yet, that the procedure that's laid out there by Javier in the motion will guarantee a timely and a good conclusion. My second concern is that the procedure results in a significant number of what I'll call wasted votes, and that's a concern to me, the notion that a candidate could be elected because of a geographical preference when a large number of votes were cast for other candidates, a much larger number, is a little troubling to me. And it seems to me that if we're going to have restrictions like those on it, there needs to be some mechanism that allows wasted votes to be recaptured in a subsequent ballot. And I don't know enough about voting to know what would be procedures. I understand there's a method called the Australian method, which has similar provisions, which I know was used at MIT for lots of votes in other places, and I have some information relative to that. But those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Tom.
Patricio here?
Patricio, yes.
Sorry, Amadeo was in the queue.
Oh, sorry, Amadeo. It's hard, by the way, there's clipping, so I don't hear everybody, so my apologies. Amadeo, then Patricio.
Dennis,
sorry. Well, that's Amadeo. I would like, really commenting on all the things here, but I would like asking the chair that we first concentrate in establishing a call for nominations, because it's the really urgent thing, not to deprive the DNSO membership to know that they have to look for candidates and call ISOM support for the candidates from now. And as we all know, perhaps we have still 1 week for discussing concrete voting rules, but we should first concentrate on call for nominations and the basic things we are telling people in this call for nominations.
Thank you. Patricio?
Yeah, I agree fully with Amadeo. I think we should issue a call for nominations today, and I don't feel comfortable with trying to decide the details of a very complex electoral procedure on the fly during the teleconference. I have read the proposals are here. There are other alternatives like this Australian system. I feel that needs a bit more thought, like a day period or something. But nominations should start right now.
Thank you.
Ken Stubbs, would you put me in the queue, please?
Yeah, Teresa Swinehart was in the queue, too.
I have now in the queue Teresa, Ken, anybody else? Okay, Teresa?
Yeah, I agree with the point that we need to make the call for nominations in order to allow the information to trickle through the process and things, or stream through the process, whichever it may be. I have not read the ASO call for nominations. I just saw the heading in an email that had been sent around. But I do agree with the observation that we need to do that. I also agree with the point that we need a voting procedure that is functional and that's going to work. I tend to support the idea that we need to put something up but also have work with it within a very short time frame to adjust it to any of the concerns that have been raised so far. So one suggestion to do this is to take one of the proposals, Javier's proposal or whichever, have it as the base and have one person from each constituency form part of a small group to adjust that according to the concerns that have been raised, and have a 4-day period or something very, very short to put onto the named council list. We want to make sure that any of the rules for the voting are circulated within the constituencies as well. And so I don't want to delay this too long because I'd like to have the constituencies aware of what the voting procedures are, and if necessary, to have a comment period for that. So I think we're sort of grappling with two things. The third thing is I think we all need to be involved in how we decide this. I understand that we solicited some expert advice on this. That's fine, and we can certainly use it as input into the discussion. But, you know, I don't know anything about voting procedures, and I don't know who's expert and who's not. So I suggest, bottom line suggestion is, let's take one of the proposals, perhaps Javier's. Richard said that his is similar to that. Use that as a basis. Have a committee with one person from each constituency and give a four-day period or whatever to come up with something.
Thanks, Teresa. Ken?
I would like to echo Teresa's comments. The main thing I'm concerned about is getting an identifiable list of willing and supportive candidates out there and get that vetted with the various constituencies. The process of turning those candidates into actual members is something that we could be doing on some sort of a parallel basis.
So. Anybody now want in the queue? Can I take a list of people who want to comment? Okay, let me ask Hirofumi. Do you want to comment?
Yes, I agree, Teresa.
Hello, Hirofumi Hata.
Hello.
Hello, yes.
I agree with Teresa's comment.
Okay, that's your comment. Thank you. YJ, do you want to comment?
Well, actually, so Teresa wanted to make some kind of drafting committee how to, like, what kind of procedure, like, electoral procedure or something, right?
Okay. Who else have we not heard from on this? Victoria, you're there for Jonathan. Would you like to comment?
Well, I haven't actually been formally given as proxy, really, that went to Caroline, but in general, I think you would probably agree that that perhaps we shouldn't go ahead right now and decide on the actual voting procedures. That's something that's very complex right now, and Teresa's suggestion that perhaps we do get this out to the constituencies is a good one, and I think you would agree with that.
Okay. Richard, Lindsay, I don't think we heard from you.
I think I'd like to be able to have some general rules, and maybe the actual voting procedures, I agree that we can hold off on those. But some of the things, for example, if we're going to ask for a constituency there or ask for the General Assembly to nominate people, we need to make sure that if we're going to require that they have, 10 other members of the General Assembly signed up to that or not. So I think we should discuss those points that we need to get done so we can actually call for nominations. And then we can discuss the actual election process as we go along.
Thank you. Now, let me, if I may, take Chairman's privilege and try and summarize where I think we are.
Dennis, can I just make one quick clarification of my suggestion? I'm sorry. I just want to make it clear that this is by no means something to slow things down. What I want to make sure is that the Names Council, concerns that have been raised by various people with the proposal that Javier put forward, that those are resolved very quickly and efficiently. So I would suggest that if we proceed with this procedure, it's very much done in a very short 3-day time frame and made sure that that's gotten out and that we then move forward. The reason I suggest using one proposal as a base is that it's easier to adjust the wording and things. This is not to start over in any means whatsoever.
Thank you.
We need to get this down, and we need to get this done quickly.
Now, I've heard a number of beeps. Have people joined us in the last few minutes?
Oh, I was cut off and then just called in. It was Amadeo.
All right, Amadeo. John England hasn't joined us. Michael Schneider, Catherine Kleiman, Raul Echeverria, Caroline Chacoin, Ted Shapiro. All right, we're still missing those. Now, let me try and summarize. I think we're all agreed that we should move ahead with the election process, but defer for a brief period the finalization of the actual election methodology.
There is no agreement on that.
My sense, Javier, is that the majority of speakers have spoken in agreement to that, and I'm trying to summarize. If you would just let me for a moment try and summarize. That we should proceed immediately to announce the election and call for nominations. And we therefore need to discuss exactly what that means. that we need to set the schedule, and we need to discuss the schedule, and that we need within a very brief period to finalize the election process so that everybody's comfortable with that. Does that summarize the discussion so far?
Partially. I think it's not exactly.
What is very, you have, yes, please explain why you think
it's... What has been very clear is that there's a need for deciding on the nomination process. That is, I think, an agreement by everybody. What there's the part that is not clear yet is if, for defining the process, we should set the base now, which can then be modified, or we should delay everything.
Okay, let's not waste more time on that then. Let's focus on the nomination and then move whether we want to discuss or not the electoral process itself.
Can I just put myself in the queue?
Please, yes, Teresa, you're next.
Okay. I agree with Javier's observation that there's full agreement we need to get the nomination issue and the call for nominations out. The process issue is to set the very specific time frame. And as I said earlier, this is a not for delay or anything. And if there's any indications on this call that it may be that, then I would move that we go ahead and adopt one of the proposals. We cannot risk in any way delaying these. And so, you know, what Javier says is true. We need to provide some clarification for what we mean by addressing the procedures themselves before we actually move to adopt that method. So maybe we should identify some very clear terms that people can agree to and use that as a basis for, if we do decide to have a procedure to clarify some things, that that's the conditions it would be under. I don't want to leave that issue vague at all.
I take your point and I won't leave that vague. If I just want to respond, I detect no intent in any of the contributions to date that there should be anything more, any delay, that this should proceed as rapidly as we can and that we should proceed immediately with the nomination process. To move forward,
okay,
I'd like Amadeo, may I just finish, please? I'd like to take your suggestion, Amadeo, and now deal with the nominations process. So at least the most urgent thing we can actually come to closure on now.
Indeed. And this is what I just wanted to propose. I think that it's clear from the bylaws that any General Assembly member can nominate candidates. The question thing here is, first, we have been circulating these 10 supporting names rule that nobody has opposed so far. Could we consider that this is a done deal? I am personally in favor of that. I mean, that is to us that any nominee to get into consideration, he will need the support of 10 members of the General Assembly.
I have a question, Amadeo. This is Don.
Yeah.
I'm not clear. It's not clear in my mind what a member of the General Assembly is.
That was my question too, Don. Can
so anybody subscribing to either GA or announce at dnsl.org mailing lists? The next question is what to do with constituencies, but the first one is, if somebody comes with 10 names of people that are subscribed to either GA or announce, supporting one name, I think that we should consider them as nominees.
May I add something, Amadeo, please?
Yeah.
Who's this?
Elizabeth Portonov speaking, Secretariat. I would like to point out that there is a lot of people subscribing to working group list and which are not member of General Assembly and announce list. I would like to add them as well.
Patricio here, may I say something?
Who's this?
Patricio?
Patricio, yes please.
We can take some operational criterion for deciding who's a member of a General Assembly or not, but I believe the bylaws state that anybody interested in domain names is a member of the General Assembly.
Can be the member, not is.
What I had proposed is that any member that one person has to nominate and 10 people from the DNSO, meaning also all members of the constituencies who do not participate in the General Assembly, can support that nomination.
I think it's a simpler rule, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with that because, I mean, I'm on the GA list and the announce list, but I'm in, you know, business.
No, the first question was General Assembly. Yeah, this is exactly what the bylaw says. Then the second thing was how we accept nominations from constituencies. It was the second part of my question, yeah? But as a minimum, we should accept nominations with 10 names that are at least at GA or announce. At least that, yeah? So if we consider that 10 names supporting a candidate from GA, announce, or any constituency list, that's okay.
I think that I'd like to second that proposal from Amadeo and Javier, just to repeat my understanding of it, Dennis here, that to get nominated, somebody has to have the support of 10 names of people either on the GA list, on the announced list, or the working group list, or the members of the constituency. 10 names.
I am not sure about the working groups. Let's say it's perhaps a constitutional problem. When we talk about working groups, we always say that people from outside the DNSO can be invited. So the status of being a member of the DNSO because you're a member of the working group perhaps is not clear. I'm not against that, but then we should clarify that.
I have no problem dropping it. Let me restate then on the basis of that interjection. 10 names, either GA list, announced list, or any constituency list. Member of any constituency, I beg your pardon. 10
names. Yep. This is Richard.
Yes, Richard.
If to make it a little easier, rather than having to have every person who either nominates himself or is nominated by somebody else and then accepts, run around and mail everybody saying, please support me, it might be nice if there was a method such that the names are posted on a web page, on the DNSO homepage, and you could online say, yes, I support this person. So as long as they had at least 10 people, then they could be submitted into the election process.
Yeah, that was my proposal, Richard. I have proposed that we set up like a comment list, which is nominations, and all nominations have to be sent to that comment list, and all shows of support also have to be sent to that list, which is public. It is not a list, it's just a comment page, and it's public.
Okay, that would work as well.
This is Ken Stubbs. Can you put me in the queue, please, Ken?
Yes, please. Ken, now before you speak, Ken, is there anybody else in the queue so I can call people?
I'm
Amadeo.
Teresa.
Yes. Teresa. Okay. Ken?
Okay. I'm somewhat opposed to that, but I suppose I can live with it, and I don't know whether it's just in the United States, but as a general rule, there's a requirement for anybody who really wants to be a candidate to exert some sort of an effort to go out and develop their own support for the candidature. Maybe in other countries that is not the case, but at least in the U.S. we have a requirement that there generally has to be some sort of support evidenced by someone who's legitimately capable of voting in a case like this. I am a bit concerned about the list. I think the list should be strictly limited to people who are supportive, or otherwise this list can turn into I think this person is a stooge for someone and so forth. I don't maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't think that's the purpose of a list like that.
Okay, Amadeo.
Yeah, this was somehow the reason I wanted to set up an electoral commission. It was not one to set up the rules, but to monitor these things. In my view, first, indeed, the 10 person support rule is needed. Second, no candidate should be put in the final ballot unless he expressly accepts to run, because we had problems in some constituencies, for instance, in the registered constituency, having people being nominated and second and running for that without knowing, in fact, that they were running. Third, regarding this list, I am again setting a special list for person bashing and insults, and it will turn that way. So simply, if people want to discuss nominations, they can do that the way they were, the place they want, and simply they know that they have an address. That would be the secretariat and our electoral committee that will receive the support, but it will not be a common list, simply something that will go to the web saying, this person have 1, 2, 3, 7, 20 supporting persons, that's all.
Thanks, Amadeo. Teresa?
Yeah, I agree that we don't want to create a list that is going to be noisy. But on the other hand, we also want to do something that indicates that somebody is interested in running or has been nominated, and allow a method by which that can be circulated widely without people having to go to the website and check.
We can simply send all the nominations. Each time there's a new nomination, or each day, or each 2 days, say, look, here are the numbers you can support, and the names you can support, and all the new additions, yeah?
Yeah, so here is actually a suggestion. I do like the idea of a list in order to facilitate easier information getting out. And perhaps that should consist of somebody who's been nominated or who's nominated themselves, along with their indication of expressed interest in accepting that nomination. And that we do something, and I can't recall how we did this. I'm not the engineer here, so. With the voting that we had on the Group A report, that there's a method by which people can let the Secretariat know that they indicate support for that, and that information is somehow made available on the website, so that people can either receive the nomination information by email. It's also on the website, and there's an indication of whether the support is sufficient at that point. Now, how something like that could be implemented technically, I don't have a clue, but that would be the concept.
What you could do is you can create a virtual petition type of a situation. So what the site would have would be the nomination for the person, the acceptance of the nomination by the person, and then a petition for that person that could be signed virtually or something along that line by the 10 people required in order to make the nomination legitimate. At the point in time that the nomination becomes legitimate, the petition part drops off, so you don't get into a situation of someone had 10 people signing their petition and another one had 1,000. That isn't the idea behind it. It's just to meet the qualifications.
May I actually respond to that? I think that's a good idea. What about the idea of having a list that provides the interactions that occur on something like that? So it's available by email, and it's also available by accessing the website. Or is that a bit overwhelming? I'm trying to build up what Javier suggested with the list, because I think it's important.
I have now in the queue Javier and then Amadeo. Javier?
What I was suggesting is just a comment address and not a mailing list.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That. The mistake was created somewhere else. Which is a common address, anybody can send to that. It could be moderated in the sense that nothing is posted until it goes to the Secretariat. If it's insults or any type of other stuff, which is not just nominations, statements of support or a statement of acceptance, that's not going to the public.
It seems to me, if I may just come in, Amadeo, sorry for doing this, that what we need is some persons or mailing list where nominations and expressions of support can go, and then that they be reflected publicly on the website rather than
indeed
a discussion list.
Yeah.
That was my proposal.
Okay. Amadeo, you want to come in now?
Well, this was part of my comment. The second part was, and then a question for the Names Council. Should we limit the number of people each member can support? That is, Dennis Jennings cannot nominate 2,000 people for the elections? I would say yes, somehow. 3 would be the maximum. If not, you know, a small group of 10 people can bring here something like 2,000 members. Candidates.
Ken Stubbs from the queue, please.
Yes, Ken, you're next.
Okay. I'm not trying to sound America-centric. I just have to apologize because I'm not totally familiar with the process. But and Don can, or Therese, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But as a general rule, let's suppose that someone wanted to run for president of the United States and we needed a petition process. It's my understanding that any registered voter, anyone who's qualified to the lists as we're using, can sign anyone's petition. I don't see why we need to limit the number of petitions. If I if I want to endorse someone's right to vote to run, I should have the right to endorse as many people as I want. I'm only going to end up voting for three of them, but the point is that it encourages a broad base, and I just don't see a problem with it.
I think we spent a lot of time. I just remind people we're now 45 minutes into our conference, and I'd like to suggest that we, the sense of the Names Council teleconference is clear. We need some mechanism. We need someone from the Names Council to volunteer to, let's say, work with Elizabeth, if Elizabeth has time to do this, to put in place a mechanism to reflect our discussions for nomination and expression of support. Would that be acceptable to the Names Council?
Yes, but first we should decide on the time schedule we present to the DNSO. That is, the nomination process open from, say, tomorrow or Friday, since which day? October 1st, October 2nd, October 3rd?
Thank you. I want to go on to that now, but I'd like to close the nominations and support. Could I suggest that one person volunteer, and Elizabeth, if you can do it, to work out a mechanism for submission of nominations and submission of statements of support, which will result in that information appearing on the web.
Dennis, can I make a suggestion?
Teresa, yes?
Yes. That Elizabeth and whoever chooses to volunteer to do this come up with a mechanism that they, within a very short time frame, post it to the Names Council list, just so that we can all be in agreement that we like that approach, because Ken raises some interesting issues, but I think culturally the American approach is something that is unique to the U.S. sometimes fortunately and sometimes very unfortunately. And I don't want to start a two-year presidential campaign that we're already experiencing now.
We want to have competitive lists of supporters and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, and I do need to agree that and I'm not sure where I fall on this right now, but having the ability that, let's say, I can sign up with all 25 nominees or whoever it is, that doesn't really serve any useful purpose. But on the other hand, it does allow for larger participation. But that's already taken care of by the fact that the number 10 is not particularly large. So it allows a lot of people to get that. We want to try to keep this clean and efficient. So I would suggest basically that Elizabeth and whoever volunteers work something out within the next day or two. I'm big on short time frames on today's call.
I absolutely agree. Elizabeth, have you got some time over the next, say, 2 days to sort this out?
Yes, I may help on that matter. And I recall that Caroline and Amadeu had some comment on the mechanism. So Caroline, she's not here, but... Well, my first idea was to request also Caroline to join to the team.
Well, she's not here.
2 or 3 days is fine.
We can't volunteer her. Who will volunteer to work with Elizabeth? Anybody can do so, but I need one.
Yeah, of course.
Javier, I'll volunteer.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm comfortable.
There's one question, Elizabeth. You said 2 or 3 days. Let's make it 2. And let's you issue that by Friday night, so, you know, at least on Monday morning, start of business, everybody's got that, and some discussion on the list.
I agree, Amadeu.
That brings me to the next point that I see that we need to discuss, that Amadeu has already raised, and that is the timescale and schedule. I get the sense of the discussion that we're all trying to make sure that the announcement goes out so that people have it at start of business next Monday. Am I correct in that understanding?
At latest, yeah.
Today is the 15th of September.
Yes.
If we open it on the 17th, nominations, then we would have 3 weeks, 1, 2, and 3 weeks until October 8th.
Yes, but nominations should close somehow, perhaps. Oh, yes. Well, that's perfect, yeah, because then we still have 1 week to sort problems, yeah, to count,
1 week
support, last-minute support, thing like that, yeah? Okay.
On the 8th or the 9th, we should open the voting procedures.
Okay.
So okay, run that calendar by me now. When are you proposing that the nominations be closed by?
The
October 8th.
October 8th.
Okay.
Javier, can I ask you to clarify it, your proposal?
My proposal is that we have 3 weeks for nominations from September 17th to October 8th.
I second the proposal.
I third it.
And we can add to that that the elections will take place from the 8th to the 15th.
All right, I think anybody, any dissenting voice, now particularly those people who have been fairly quiet. Patricio?
I agree with that proposal.
I agree with that.
Dennis?
YJ?
Dennis, I'm Raul here.
Hold on, you're here?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm here since 20 minutes. Could I ask you to tell me who is in the teleconference, please?
Certainly, yes. Let me do that for everybody's information. From the CCTLD, Dennis Jennings, Patricio Pobleta, Nigel Roberts. From the business community, Javier Sola and Teresa Swinehart. From the GTLD's Don Delage. From the ISD's Antonio Harris and Hirofumi Hotta. From the non-commercial, YJ Park and yourself, Raul.
Okay.
From the registrars, Amadeo, Richard Lindsay, and Ken Stubbs. And from the intellectual property community, Victoria Carrington for Jonathan Cohen, Ben Edelman from the Berkman Centers there, and Elizabeth Portenneuve for the Secretariat. Did I leave anybody out?
Okay, thank you. I agree with my family names.
Pardon?
I agree with Javier's proposal.
Excellent. So we have an agreement. The nomination process starts on the 17th and closes on the 8th. Elizabeth, could you do the details, like is it 00 hours where, or you know, those sort of details? We don't need to discuss those in fine detail, but we do need to make sure that the precise final minute is defined in the announcement.
Okay, we'll do.
Thank you.
Can I also make a suggestion with this? With the announcement, we make it clear what this is for. And I know that sounds sort of strange, but just so those who are perhaps, you know, not as intrinsically involved, just have a very short summary of, you know, these are the nominations for the board, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, indeed. And even copy the relevant bylaw provisions.
Yeah, or the websites or whatever. I mean, leave the blah, blah, blah part, you know, don't quote me on that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And again, if Elizabeth, could we ask you to draft something and circulate it quickly to the Names Council?
We will do our best with Javier.
I know, I understand. I understand. Perfect. It's very short now till the 17th.
Well, this is Friday. Yeah, I have some question about like the definition of like TA members. Actually, according to you, you kind of listed GA or announced list and constituents list. But first you commented about, I mean, working groups, but I mean later you kind of dropped it off like after Amadeus comment, but I'm not quite sure like why you dropped it up, because maybe somebody who in the working groups, you know, I mean, who didn't subscribe any of GA or announced constituents list, even though they are in the list. So if we exclude those people, we might be in trouble, I guess.
YJ, I try to explain my point. It's not that I want to exclude them. It's when we define it, in, I think it was San Jose, what the General Assembly is, we said that, you know, the regular expression is the meetings, the GA, and the announced. Then we have the constituencies. Regarding working groups, we have a rule saying that working groups are comprised from members of the constituency, General Assembly, and other people from outside the DNSO. So there is people there that's outside the DNSO. If we want to say that all the members of working groups are members of the DNSO, that's fair. But we should do that first, prior to allowing them to nominate people. I'm not against. I'm saying that are two different problems, yeah? So if you want to say that, that's okay, yeah? I mean, I'm not against.
May I comment?
Is that Teresa?
Yes.
Yes, please. But I
figured since I have to...
Yes, very quickly. I have to agree that according to how the provisions for the working groups are written, experts in it or people from outside the DNSO can participate. It's not difficult to join the General Assembly, so I'm perfectly comfortable with not including in the list the working group members. They can sign up to the GA list and then they're automatically part of that, but in San Jose we spent quite some time trying to at least set a little bit of a premise for a General Assembly, and I think we should stick to that before.
Or at least announce, which is not announce a list.
Right, exactly, because it's not, there's no threshold for joining an ounce or GA. If there was, then I think we'd have a different issue at hand, but there is no threshold for joining except signing up.
I would ask to make the point that the announcement of the elections makes it clear who can nominate and support, and has a note that people, of course, can join these lists.
Mm-hmm.
In it.
Please add how they can join and that they can join, because otherwise we'll get accusations of excluding. So.
Yeah. Elizabeth, did you note that?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Now, there are some issues that I think we should discuss. The geographical diversity issue, first of all, I think we need to define for our purposes what this is for these elections. And then we need to make it clear that if there is such a definition, that people who are nominated need to identify which geographic region they are citizens and or residents, if that's what we decide, of.
Yeah, I think we have your motion on the table, right?
I would like to put my motion on the table that they be both...
You have a second, by the way.
Yes.
But which is the definitive redaction of the motion?
In my mind, anyway, the definitive version of the motion is that people must be both citizens and residents of a region.
Mm. Okay.
Do we want to discuss that?
Dennis, I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. Could you please elaborate a bit?
Is that Don?
Yeah, it's Don, I'm sorry.
Okay. That rather than rely on citizenship, which is the formal requirement in the bylaws, that for our purposes, we add residency as well. So for someone to represent, let's say, the Asia-Pacific region, they must not only be a citizen of the Asia, of a country in the Asia-Pacific region, but also a resident in a country in the Asia-Pacific region.
So it's citizenship and residency, as opposed to or residency.
And, yes.
And, okay.
Dennis, I'm afraid I supported the former version, but I can't support this one, because what we really want is geographical diversity. In that case, imagine that Ed Shapiro, an American resident, American citizen resident in Europe, is elected in the first round. In the second round, just imagine that Hiro Hota moves to the United States. Well, in my view, if we elect both of them, we are still abiding to geographical diversity at any rate, even if we are taking in both cases, people that are residents and citizens of different regions, but they come from different regions in all senses. With your rule, both of them would be prevented. So what it counts in is not the individual rule, but the aggregate being diverse.
I understand that, Amadeo. The problem is that whichever rule you choose, you can get pathological situations, and some people are very uncomfortable with the minimal requirement, which is the board's requirement, that they must be citizens.
Yep.
Can I add myself to the list?
Teresa, you're next. Who's in the queue here? Teresa?
Ken Stubbs, please add me too.
Ken, next. Talk after Ken. All right, Teresa.
I agree that this is a very complex issue, and I don't know what the first proposal was in the sense of what Amadeo had understood you had proposed. What I would suggest for the current situation is the board has put down a premise to try to adjust that premise to take into account the various scenarios that we've been identifying is, I think, going to take some thought and careful thinking on how to do that. And maybe something that, the Names Council proposes should be addressed at the earliest opportunity. But to try to resolve that issue on a call here, I think it's going to be really difficult because I'm completely sympathetic to the issues, but Amadeo has identified, one idea and one thought of a problem.
I'm not sure we can resolve it this quickly.
All right.
Sorry, just for clarification.
Okay. Yes, clarification.
Because apparently not everybody is aware about, you know, the different versions of the motion you put there. The first one was that there is no concrete requirement in the bylaws that we elect three people from three different regions. There is an aggregate requirement that the final board has no more than X from each, right? So what Dennis was proposing is the easiest way to solve that from our individual point of view is that we decide that from our three directors come from different regions. The question is, how do you interpret come or belong to? So I agree with this principle. And I said, well, I accept citizenship even if I don't agree with that because this is in the bylaws, right? Now what Dennis was saying is amending his motion, saying, well, they should belong to different regions in the sense that they should both be citizens and residents of a given region that should be different for each of them. That was somehow the discussion.
Yes. Okay.
May I come in there and say, because of the pathological situation that you identified, Amadeo, I would withdraw the and requirement. I see what you're saying, and I think that the first proposal, well, there are really two proposals, just to clarify. One, that rather than rely on the aggregate, that we fix our own rules, and two, that rule should be the citizenship rule. I believe I've summarized Amadeo. Now, Ken, you wanted to come in.
My comment is not a comment, but rather a question coming out of, if you pardon me, group, pure ignorance. Is the ICANN rule at this point in time regarding citizenship mandated, or is this something that is still out for comment?
Mandated is very unlikely to change, at least for the board.
I just repeat that. I had a discussion my mind's gone blank.
Andrew,
thank you. And everybody recognizes the problem, but the rule at the moment is citizen, and it won't be changed quickly.
Okay, so we're not going to get into a situation where we're going to elect a board which will then immediately change the requirements for the balance of the board. Is that the case?
I can't.
Yeah, I guess you can't really speak to that, but the board. Okay.
So the question is, do we agree?
Dennis?
Yes.
Sorry.
Raul, here.
Raul, yes, please. Raul, let me take a cue now. Raul, who's after Raul?
Don,
next. Okay, Raul.
Yes, I would like to support the Dennis proposal because I think if we want to have a real diversity, we need people in the board from several regions. Belong to a region is to be resident there. I agree and support the your proposal. I repeat that I think we have to work very much in improve these rules in the future. But at this moment, I would like to support this proposal. Thank you,
Bro. Thank you, Raul. Don.
Yes. I understand the diversity provision that you've proposed, Dennis, and I'd support it. I think that to attempt to move away from the bylaw-mandated citizenship would be foolhardy of us, given the time schedule we're working under. So I'm in support of trying to use citizenship as a diversity measure and incorporating diversity in the Names Council elections.
Okay, I think the sense of the meeting is that we shouldn't rely, we should take my original proposal, not rely on the aggregate, because that'll cause problems later on, and have our own rule for the three directors, let's say, be citizens of three different regions. There is some interest in adding residency, but it gives us a complicated situation, as Amadea has outline. So I think the general view, I'm getting a terrible echo now, I'm hearing myself.
Okay.
Well,
I'm hearing you as well.
Well, I didn't realize how awful it is to hear me. Sorry about that, folks. So, the proposal on the table is that we adopt a geographical diversity rule for the election and that it be based on citizenship. We note Raoul's concern, but we also note Amadeo's example of a situation which would be unacceptable. Does that give a sense of the meeting?
Yes.
Any objection?
I'm receiving an echo in the line, and it's very difficult to understand you. Speak slowly, please.
So somebody probably has put the speakerphone on.
Okay.
So you can turn to headset, probably would be easier.
Hello?
Whoever it was just went off.
No, it didn't. No, no, there's a terrible echo.
Let's see, I'm not in a place where I can dial the operator, but I think if one presses zero, one can get the operator.
Star zero. I'll try to do that. Would you
okay.
do that, Javier? I'll do that.
Thank you.
You've got a zero
vehicle. We have more than 30 people speaking now.
Dennis, in the meantime, I have a question, and I don't know how to deal with that.
Excuse me,
I think that there is
press coordinator, if everyone could be silent for just a moment. Okay, you can continue. I'll need to detect the echo, and I can disconnect that line for you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, the question is that there's a general sense from the first meeting we had and all the subsequent discussions. Also, is the board sense that people should not be serving at the same time within the NAMES Council or any SO Council and the board. But we are not preventing people from running in the new elections that are in most constituencies and probably being nominated at the same time for the board. Do you think that this provisional names council should express the view that anybody elected to the board should better resign from names council in case it's a member, that we should ask that clarification from each nominee, or do we simply leave that to each individual conscience? My preference would be that we ask that in the electoral statement that the nominees should send.
I have a comment, Tony Harris. Can I make it now, Dennis?
Hello? I'm afraid we are alone. Are you there?
Dennis
yes?
may have been the one that got cut off.
Can I go ahead with my comments,
sure.
Tony Harris? Article 6B(g) says service as a member of the Names Council in the bylaws. Service as a member of the Names Council shall not disqualify a person from being selected by the DNSO as one of the directors of the corporation it is entitled to select.
Can I just make a comment? This is Victoria. Was there not an email that went out today or at some point this week that you cannot be both?
No. The problem is that the current bylaws do not prevent that. But the general sense of most DNSO participants who expressed the view of that was contrary to that. And Joe Sims somehow expressed the view that they are amending the bylaws in order to prevent that situation.
Yeah, that's
so this is the case. And then, I don't know, most of the people I have polled are also against this possibility. Perhaps we should better take care of that before. Somehow, probably not enforcing that, but somehow, you know, just asking the candidates whether they would resign or not in that case, yeah? In order to know when the Names Council do the selection.
Well, would the question be that if you're a member of the Names Council, you cannot be a nominee? Or would the question be if you are a member of the Names Council and you are nominated, you would then resign from the Names Council?
The second one, indeed. You are able to run, but you simply ask whether you would resign from the Names Council in case you get eventually elected to the board.
Well, that seems reasonable. I mean, you shouldn't be on both at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, I agree.
So perhaps the better way to do that is to clarify that nominees can be current members of the Names Council or people running for the elections in the incoming elections, but that there's a general view that somehow they should express whether they would resign from the Names Council or not.
Well, they would only have to resign if they're elected as a board member, right?
Indeed. Only if they are elected. Indeed.
Okay.
Okay.
I have otherwise, you're leaving out some people who would probably be valid candidates and currently serving on the Names Council.
My question was only ex post. And as there is the bylaw says nothing, it's only about personal commitment. But in order to better vote, we should know what they expect to do, each of the candidates. Yeah? So that was my only question here. Okay.
Okay. Fine.
I have another question.
I'm Raul. It could be clear in the call for nomination.
Mm-hmm. Patricio?
Yeah. I don't know if we closed this part about not being able to be in both boards, because I have a question of a different nature.
Is Dennis on board?
That's a good question.
No. So anyway, in alphabetical order, I take your... Go ahead, Patricio.
Okay, thank you. In spite of our geographical diversity clause, it could well happen that at the end, there is some region that is not represented in the ICANN board. And the general rule says that there should be at least one member from each region. Are we going to worry about that, or do we leave that in the... for the board to worry? I'm asking because it's if I consider my region, Latin America, it's very unlikely that some Latin American will be elected from the ASO or the PSO, because there is very little participation from Latin America in those organizations, okay? So it would be basically up to us to elect a Latin American. Do we worry about that, or do we leave that to the board to worry afterwards if it doesn't happen?
Patricio, the only problem is it is impossible to worry about that from our point of view, in the sense that we cannot elect people from the three regions, and I think that we will not commit to elect one African and one Latin American. To commit, I repeat. It's not that we will refuse to do that, yeah? And I would personally support that, but we cannot commit to elect the rest of the regions. This is why, in the at-large membership, there is a provision for one regional seat for each region. So to make sure that any region left out in the regular distribution will be there. But in any case, what we have decided that somehow we are applying a diversity rule here. There will be people from three regions at least. Well, this could be Latin America, Africa, and Asia-Pacific, or Europe, North America, and Asia-Pacific. We don't know yet. But at least we'll try our best. It's impossible to accommodate the five here.
Okay.
At least I repeat, we have improved somehow by deciding that each candidate from our SO has to come from a different region, which was not in the bylaws.
I'd like to make a comment, Tony Harris again. I've got the bylaws in front of me. Article 6, Section 2A. The selection of directors by each supporting organization shall comply with all applicable geographic diversity provisions of these bylaws. So there is a commitment there from the bylaws. Okay?
Yeah, but the only thing that they say is that the aggregate has to be diverse. They don't. I mean, it could be that we elect three North Americans, the ASO three Europeans, and PSO one African, one Latin American, and one Asia Pacific, and that would be okay. Okay. So there is no individual SO requirement.
Sure, but what if the three SOs have simultaneous elections and you come up with more than half from one region? Who's going to step down of the three?
No.
Dennis, back in again. I listened to music for a long time and then finally dialed in again, and my apologies.
Sorry about that, Dennis.
The echo is gone, by the way.
Who's causing the echo? Was it me?
This is Teresa. I need to, in about 5 or 10 minutes, 10 minutes at the latest, go to catch my flight. So if I'm supposed to do the working group, do you think, I just want to make this notice and suggest that we move it up on the agenda.
I also need to leave. I'm giving a talk shortly. I'm in New York City. It's done.
Okay, Don. Would it be acceptable to them, then, if we had a brief interlude while we got an update from Teresa on the Working Group P report, particularly the interim measures for Working Group C? Would there be any objection to doing that?
Strong support.
All right. Teresa, would you go then?
I'll keep it very, very short. Working Group D in the past 2 weeks in Santiago focused on discussing and figuring out interim measures for Working Group C that's been circulated to the council list. I hope everybody's gotten it or seen it, or anyway, it's been circulated. And that would be the proposal that Working Group D would put forward as far as recommendations go to be applied to Working Group C. The next step that we have is to work out the more full-hearted procedures, and I think the exercise of coming up with the interim procedures was very good for this working group to be able to complete the other task relatively quickly. The other agenda item that is in charge for Working Group D is the business plan, which, as in Santiago, I had suggested, is something that the Names Council appoint perhaps a very small group to just hammer out some numbers and put forward a proposal. And with regards to the interim measures for Working Group C, I don't know procedurally whether the Names Council, I believe, adopts those and then applies them. Perhaps somebody can help me try to figure that part out. That was my understanding, is that the Names Council has a chance to review it, but that they're then applied and perhaps a very limited time frame is given for Working Group C to begin implementing them.
Amadeo?
Dennis here. Let me take the cue. Amadeo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yes? Someone to come in?
Javier?
Teresa, just a brief comment. The Working D recommendations for Working Group C sounds like buying time. Charging lots of work on Working C itself without giving clear answers. Yeah, I say, well, do something while we think about you. Yeah, is that correct?
No, actually it's not. There was a lot of grappling, first whether Working Group D even had the authority to do this, but once we concluded that discussion, there was focus on trying to figure out how to ensure that Working Group C can come to something without needing to just give up hope. And since Working Group C is not on as tight a time frame as perhaps Working Group A, and because there seem to be identifiable different viewpoints, general discussion in Working Group D felt that it would be a very good method of moving the discussion forward by at least solidly identifying what those differing viewpoints are and trying to see where one can reach a compromise or consensus. I mean, we all know that compromise or consensus means that nobody's happy and that's when you've achieved it. Right now, I don't think Working Group C is there yet. So no, it's not an attempt at all to delay in any way. I think it's an attempt to have Working Group C identify in very clear terms where the differences are and move forward explicitly to focus in on those points and figure out where there's a compromise. Now, if they see that they can't reach a compromise, fine. I mean, that's working groups can say, we have no compromise, or we have no recommendations, or, you know, we need to put forward these two viewpoints and put it up for public comment and, you know, move further. But Working Group D was trying to find a middle road between starting over from scratch or building on the discussions that have taken place, but insisting that it's done in a very concrete and constructive manner.
Then it's Don.
Javier first, Don, and then Don. Javier?
John Weinberg and I, pretty much agree with the report. What would be interesting to do is set up a deadline for the group, working group, to come out with something.
Yes, I agree.
And give reference to the report. Like, once you have finished the report, you can continue with discussions, but work on a report which includes the different positions. And the deadline I was thinking was October 15th. Most for today.
Don?
Yes, I had a very difficult time hearing Javier. I hope I don't repeat what his thoughts were. His voice has faded, and I don't know whether it's a line or...
I was talking from a different microphone. What I was
Javier, it's very difficult to hear you on that.
Yeah. What I was proposing is that we set up the deadline on October 15th, and that we have a work group to concentrate on getting the reports. And once the reports are done, then the discussion and agreement might continue, but with very clear positions.
Yeah.
Very much the discussion.
Yeah, I would sort of like to add a sort of a meta thought to this working group notion, as we now had some experience with them. Mercifully, I have not been involved in working group C, and I understand the difficulties it has been. But I would like to propose that maybe we're asking the working groups to do something that isn't appropriate. Maybe what's appropriate for working groups to do in an issue that's controversial like this issue is to, in fact, just develop the various positions and articulate them and the arguments for and each position and against each position in a clear, concise manner as a work product, rather than attempting to develop a consensus which may be impossible, number one. And number two, what does it mean to have a consensus in a working group when, in fact, the corporation as a whole is a consensus body? It may be we're asking the working groups to do something that in controversial cases is impossible.
I agree.
Can I put myself in the queue, please?
Yes. Let's take a queue now. Teresa? Who's that?
I think Javier was before me.
No, go ahead, Teresa.
And then Ken after Teresa, please.
All right. And then Ken after. So I have Teresa, Javier, and Ken. Teresa?
No, I'm not in the list.
Oh, you're not on this. Okay, thank you, Javier. Teresa?
I think Don points out something. I think the purpose of what Working Group D was proposing was to use basically his suggestion, but as an interim stage, that this is an opportunity for C to really clearly identify and then see whether they could take the next step and come up with an agreement or compromise. As opposed to then, trying to put that down and then putting the reasons for and against and things like that. So this interim thing is really to focus in on the specific areas, see whether this can be done as an interim phase. I think if it's seen that in the end they cannot reach a compromise based on this exercise, then perhaps there should be the next step that working groups dealing with very controversial issues and unable to come to conclusions within a period of 6 months or something would then be asked to just put forward the various positions and it would be taken into a broader forum. But I'd like to see whether working group C can't identify things and come up with something before we take the route that they don't need to go through that process.
Ken?
Well, I want to support what Don said. I think from a practical standpoint, I think we need to be able to identify. It's relatively easy after a short period of time to identify a hung jury, in effect. And I think once we've identified a hung jury, then I think the most expeditious thing to do is to move forward. I think 6 months is an entirely too long of a period of time. I think that it has to be done in a shorter basis, I think.
The number of 6 months wasn't...
Okay.
That was just throwing out...
And I think
a stupid question. What's a hung jury?
A hung jury is a jury that, in effect, cannot agree on a verdict. Mandated to a verdict. It may be, again, one of those American-centered things. I'm sorry.
If I may just make a joke, in some jurisdictions, when that happens, they hang the jury.
Yeah.
Right.
I hate to do this. I need to run. and catch my flight. I would just like to second Javier's proposal about asking Working Group C to implement Working Group C's recommendations within the short period of time. This is just my suggestion.
Teresa, before you leave, one comment, please. Dennis?
Yes.
Yes, Don.
I think that in addition to the first comment I made, I'd like to add a second comment in that, you know, not every issue that comes in front of us is going to result in a consensus, and that in the notion of the state space of possible states that we can be in,
mm-hmm.
lack of consensus is a viable, perfectly acceptable state for some periods of time. And
it's
possible this problem isn't ready to be solved in this community.
Let's try and solve it. So I think that perhaps, Teresa, could I modify your proposal? Could we have another 24 hours to read it more carefully and then give you comments and then implement it in light of the comments?
Yes, as long as the co-chairs are comfortable with that, that's fine.
Yes.
I haven't been able to consult with Brett on this.
We could have a vote at the end of the week.
Right. Yes. I just would like to comment quickly on what Don said. Absolutely. I mean, I agree. There's going to be times when we can't reach consensus. I think, though, at this stage, so early in the process, we need to do absolutely everything possible to make sure that that's the stage we're at. And with this issue, there are very, very strong viewpoints for whichever reasons each viewpoint exists. And that is most likely not going to change overly quickly. And so I think we should at least make the utmost attempt to try to do this, maybe 10 years from now when, you know, there's more of a, how do you say, everything's more familiar and whatever. You know, but I mean, and I'm not suggesting in any way that not reaching consensus is an option. Absolutely, I think it is. But I think in the preliminary phases, we have a responsibility to try to do as much as we can to reach
something. Well, I think
something.
Everybody agrees we should.
Got your flies.
Yes, yes. Actually, I do need to run. Javier has my proxy on whatever may be needed.
If you miss your flight, come back to us.
Excuse me?
If you miss your flight, come back to us.
Yes, Dennis, I need to drop off too.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks, Teresa. Bye.
Okay, bye, you guys.
And Dennis, if there's a proxy, I'd like you to exercise it for me.
All right. Thank you very much, Don. Thank you for taking part in the call.
Okay, I'm sorry, folks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, same here. I'll check your email tonight. Bye.
And thanks, Teresa. Bye.
Dennis, if I'm correct, you were proposing to have an additional period for comments on Working Group D conclusions. Let's say 24 or 48 hours.
Javier suggested 48 hours by, you know, by close of business Friday. That
okay.
What I meant was having a vote, an email vote, finished by Friday.
Oh. Let's do 24 hours comments.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even sure that... I think everybody sees that this is a step forward, unless I'm concluding too quickly.
Yeah.
I just think that everybody should have an opportunity to comment. Those comments should be taken on board. I don't
Indeed.
Think that it's necessary to vote. Okay?
Indeed.
I agree.
Well,
I think we're wasting our time voting on it. I think we just need
yeah,
to...
Yeah. No, just in order to know what we are doing, yeah? So that anyway, we allow some period in order to see if someone raises a really critical question that we should not accept, yeah?
That's the idea. Just give us time to think about, make comments, and I think the general sense of the meeting, unless anybody wants to come back and say this is not the sense of the meeting, is that, sounds good, let's try it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the only thing that is not in the report is the October 15th deadline. Should we implement that? Or should we leave it open?
I think that is the opinion of the working group chairs that is a feasible deadline?
I have to consult with John Weinberg, but I think it's a period of time in which if we don't get anything, we will not get it later.
Yeah, that's probably correct.
I think I would, if you made that comment on the list, I would support it, Javier. I think that, yes, that we need something out of this, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right. Okay. So I think that deals with Working Group D report at the moment. It does raise one question, and that is the whole question of the business plan.
Okay.
We don't have a document in front of us,
And Working Group D is suggesting that a small subgroup should get together to try and progress this. I suppose I'm calling for volunteers. Are there people who want to leap up and say, yeah, we'll take a cut at the business plan?
I'd be more than happy to spend the time to review it, but as far as actually preparing it, I'll work with somebody on it. But I just don't.
We have a half volunteer in Kent. Anybody else?
To email so that we can get this group together to email.
Okay. I would make a suggestion here. Number one is I think that we should contact ICANN and have them provide staff to work with us on developing a business plan. I really believe that would help us out a lot. Let's use some of their professional expertise. Toss the ball in their court and see what they say. Have Andrew help.
I think that would be, if they would agree, that would be wonderful.
Agree.
Yeah? So can we agree to do that? Ask for some help and on the email put together a small working group with that help to discuss the business plan.
Yeah, but any other volunteer from within the NAMES Council? I think that three people would be enough, yeah? Probably Theresa would be one of them, as she has been somehow working on that, I don't know.
Yeah?
I'll volunteer, Javier.
What a wonderful guy.
Anybody else? Now, we haven't heard for some time, so let me just see who we have.
Javier, my only concern is that you're volunteering too many things, yeah? So, in the sense of, will you have the time to do all that?
Probably not.
I haven't heard from Patricio Pablete for some time.
Here. Yeah.
Do you want to volunteer for the business plan subgroup?
I'm afraid it's a bit out of my field of expertise.
Okay.
I could comment on it and help, but not really be in the group.
Okay. No is the reasonable answer. Antonio Harris?
Yanis? I think if we're going to go, I would say one thing. I'm not conditioning my volunteering. I'm more than happy to work on a business plan. But if we get a business plan done, it's my proposal that we need to get it commented on and get it done through one meeting. We need to put it on a fast track because we need to develop some funding for this organization.
Yep.
And most important, we need some structure. The reluctance and frustration in not having complete and adequate minutes for meetings and stuff like that is a perfect reason that bodes for getting this done quickly.
Yeah. Should we leave the email list to sort of put together an ad hoc group, try and get Andrew to help, and then have a separate teleconference to go through the proposals and discuss them?
I think it would be a good idea. And if every constituency wants to appoint someone to monitor the teleconference to represent that constituency's interest, even so we don't need to make it a long teleconference. You know, we could do most of that could get done in an hour, I'm betting.
I'll volunteer to put some structure around this discussion and put it on the mail.
Yeah, see, what I would propose is we could do a teleconference with the representatives prior to the next NAMES Council conference, and the representatives would be able to report back, in effect, but maybe that's pushing it too fast, that's all.
Well, let me put something out in the list of comments and see if we can move it forward.
Okay.
Is that all right with everybody?
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry, I lost the connection. So where did we end up on the election of the ICANN board member?
We were somehow done regarding the call for nominations.
Yeah.
We were somehow done in the sense that we want to enforce regional diversity in the sense that citizenship is... that we are selecting three different candidates from three different regions, and accepting citizenship because simply this is the rule, but we have not discussed whether we want to discuss now the electoral process itself. We are deferring that, we are appointing a committee or whatever. I think that we are just here.
Well, this is Javier, I have a motion.
Okay, Javier?
I think that it will be very hard to prepare something from scratch in a week. I think that we need to put things out for comment. So the motion that I had prepared as a definitive motion, I'd like to put it forward as something that we publish as a
proposal of elections process to be commented on, so that Paul can comment on the different aspects, because I think it's procedural and it's complete. It might be right or wrong on different issues, I think it's right. I would say is to start a discussion. And I would propose that we publish my motion as a or the procedures that I have prepared as the basis for discussion and for comments, and we'll do that right away so that anybody can comment. And if by the next teleconference, which we have to set right away, we decide on new procedures, then those are the ones in use. If the working committee, the committee on this issue, does not come out with anything, then those stay, or we can, depending on different comments, modify them. But I think we need the base for discussion. We cannot work from scratch, and we have no time for public comment otherwise. So I propose that the process that I have prepared be published and put out for discussion.
What do you mean by published?
I mean put on the website and saying,
oh, okay,
this is a procedure for elections, please comment on it. And then if the elections committee does not come out with something in a week, that be used for the elections.
I'd like to comment, not chair, if I may put myself on this. You'll have seen that I have done some consultation of experts on the whole thing, and they are quite convinced that the mechanism that is in Javier's proposal is not very sound. Some of the points that Don raised about wasted votes and so on are critical, and they have put forward a recommendation on the preferential transferable voting. I would really like to get more expertise in this to see what alternatives we have, rather than an ad hoc, than publish an ad hoc one at this stage. But if we publish it now, we'll tend to get, that'll be the default, and what is in Javier's, your proposal, Javier, is not good enough in my view.
Amadeo?
Yes. Now I'm back as chair, so let me take a list. Amadeo? Anybody else want to comment?
Richard.
Anybody else?
Javier.
Okay, Javier.
Javier and Dennis, and Nigel, if he's still there, I'm afraid you're trying to make very complicated rules for what finally is a very simple election. Three members to be elected for three different regions with an electorate of 19 people. This is really much simpler than we are really devising here, that are general electoral rules. This is my first comment. The second comment is, I think we should publish something, and I would say we take Javier's proposal, the first one that came here, and we put the alternatives included in Dennis' proposal. That is, we probably could put him, for different parts. Either we vote that way or that way. For the second candidate, we do that or that, and things like that, yeah? And third, I have a question for all those really being so worried about the 50% rule. Don't you think that what will really happen is that we start some rounds, we eliminate all those without any votes in the first round, we go ahead, and finally, when we got the three names that get the support, then we put that ballot with the only three names, we all vote, and these will get more than 50%, and that's it?
That's perfectly fine with me, Mario. The
50%... It says nothing about how we select the three. I mean, my sense is that we are making very complicated discussions about what's finally a very simple, one of the most simple elections in the world. Three seats, three people, three regions, seven constituencies, probably 12 candidates, something like that, and 19 members of the electorate.
Well, I agree with that, Amadeo. I could modify my proposal to do that.
Can I take Richard in now? Who wants to come in?
YJ.
Not YJ, yeah. Richard?
My only comment was, if we were looking for some outside consultation on this, we're going to, I think Andrew McLaughlin is going to be back tomorrow, I think, and he's going to be looking at some of the proposals we had for the next meeting we're going to have. If we want to have the Berkman Center look at Javier's proposal and Dennis's proposal for the elections, I think they'd be able to give us a very good sense of one, if it's logical, and then two, if it fits in with the overall framework of how ICANN like to see things work.
So your suggestion is refer to the Berkman Center for their input.
Yes, and do it immediately, because they're already going to be looking at some of our procedures. There was a mail from Andy McLaughlin just today saying that he'll be looking at some of our issues later on in the week. So.
Okay. I have Javier next on my list.
Well, I think what we need is clear procedures. I like the idea of referring things to the Berkman Center. And I like Amadeus' idea of having an election and then have the whole Names Council vote for the three people as a whole to see if they are named
to affirm,
to give our support. Separate the two issues. I think that would simplify the procedure.
You might have seen in a most recent mail from me that I also suggested an affirmation of our vote separate from the election. You know, once the three are selected, then the whole Names Council votes to affirm. And that's where you have the 50%.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, that makes it very...
YJ, I think it was...
YJ is next, sorry.
And then Amadeo.
Okay. YJ?
Well, actually, I'm a little bit confused, like, about this kind of, discussion, because I think today is September 15th, so maybe if we first say the deadline, we just have, like, 1 month. So probably, from 17th, we might start nomination, and October 8th we might close nomination, and we just have 1 week of voting period. So maybe should we just talk about this kind of substantive the procedure problem? Well, actually somebody mentioned election committee and Berkman Center, and Dennis proposed some expertise centered committee rather than some Names Council members, but I guess we first decide the specific date for the nomination start and close, and when to start to vote, or report to the voting result to people.
Okay, now let me just pick that up if I may. Earlier on, we decided that we would open nominations on Saturday the 17th, that's this coming Saturday, and they would close on October the 8th. Elizabeth is to define the precise hour of the closure. We defined that we would have some process that Elizabeth and Javier would work on for accepting comments and support. And we defined that the period for the Names Council to actually have the election would be from the 8th to the 15th of October, and on, presumably, close of business on the 15th of October.
Sorry, Dennis, the 9th then?
Beg your pardon.
There's nominations until the 8th, so probably the vote from the 9th.
Thank you, Amadeo. From the 9th, we start the vote on the 9th, we finish it by the 15th, and submit the result to board at close of business on the 15th. That element of the schedule we've been through, the missing element that is answered by your question is what is the last date by which we will publish the final agreed election process. And there was some discussion earlier about making that Friday week, which would be the 23rd. And that's just to recap where we are, as far as I can.
I think I agree with that schedule. I think it shouldn't be later than the 23rd.
No, I think we all agree that, Amadeo. I think that what we're saying now is that we need to have some discussion. I think there's general agreement that the Berkman Center is probably the people who advise us, that we should look at what we want to do, have a discussion, and see if we can get a decision by the 23rd. And I think that, to be fair, that if we can't, if we're deadlocked, the fallback should be Javier's proposal. It's the first thing.
Just one thing then. We are talking a lot about having expert advice on complicated technical rules, but there are some things that is not a question only of expert advice, but our, how we call that, political decision. For instance, secret ballot against open ballots. You have technical arguments for everything here, and you have to take a decision on that. Second, we want a system that is somehow blind selection, that is, that tries to prevent how you call that, horse trading, negotiating among constituencies between round and round, or we prefer a system that makes this easier. These are the kind of things that probably we should discuss.
Before we do that, Amadeu, we might want to close on your proposal that all proposals that have been made for election mechanisms be posted.
Yeah.
And refer to the Berman Center. I think we could have an agreement on that.
Let me take that as a motion. Is there anybody on the teleconference who disagrees with the proposal that we put all the election proposals on the list and refer them all to the Berkman Center for advice? I hear no disagreement. Okay, thank you. Javier, do you want to continue?
Yeah, but I wanted to support the fact that what Amadeu was saying, that we should discuss, we should see if we can reach an agreement here now on a couple of very specific issues on the voting mechanism, such as if the vote should be secret or not, and the procedure, and if the vote should be made public at the end, if it's public, it should be made public at the end or during the process.
After process, this is why, yeah, I guess, like, I mean, after a vote, like, I mean, that would be reasonable because, I mean, during the process, it might affect people who is not yet voted, so.
I agree with that, too.
Okay. I do, too.
Who's that?
That's Ken Stumps. I apologize, but I think...
Oh, no problem at all, Ken. Sometimes I can't have fun speaking. The issues then seem to me, if I may recap, that first of all, the secret or open ballot. Secondly, whether there's a single process, a single vote which leads to a result through the process. Are there rounds of voting which may encourage horse trading between rounds? No. Dennis, the point, the second point is, if the votes are made public, are they made public during the process, such as we all sent our votes to the council list, or should they be sent to the secretariat, and the secretariat at the end of the election will be the one to say who has voted for whom?
I think that's the third
point they were sent posting.
Yeah. The third point I was going to say is that at the end of the process, are the votes made public?
During the
process, are the secrets are open? Is the process a once-off vote? For example, preference voting is a once-off vote and the process ends with the result? Or do you have rounds of vote, and the problem with rounds of vote is can lead to horse trading or changing votes? And the third point is, at the end, are the votes made public? Those are the three issues that I have on my notes here at this time.
So YJ was proposing that votes are made public at the end.
I would reaffirm at the end, and I would like to make sure that the end is defined as the point in time in which all of the final candidates have been elected, not midpoint in the process, you know, if we end up having a step-by-step thing.
Yeah, but there were some people, I mean, I also favor that somehow, and this somehow eliminates the need for, you know, external oversight committees just to oversee the electoral process, because, you know, if the vote is secret, you need much more control and double-sided control on that. But there were some voices, I think that Dennis was one of them, that was favoring secret ballots. Am I correct?
Yes. I think a secret ballot is important. Certainly if there are rounds of voting, I think that it is very difficult to have a fair vote if it's open. But the discussion has separated the secret during the process from secret and open at the end. And the general discussion so far indicates that people, those who have spoken, favor that at the very end of the process, that it be made public. Can we take, that seems the simplest thing to focus on.
Yeah.
The proposal is that at the end of the process, that the votes be made public. Does anybody want to speak to that, or is there agreement on that?
I think there's agreement on it, Dennis.
Yeah.
Right, let me just do a poll. answer first, just for clarity. Patricio?
Yeah, agree.
Hirofumo?
Agree.
Raul?
Raul?
Yes?
Do you agree that at the end of the process, the votes should be made public?
Yes.
Who else has spoken? Richard?
I agree.
Excuse me?
I think we have general agreement. That
yes, I agree also, Tony Harris.
Yeah, but by the way, remember that each candidate to be selected needs more than 50% of the votes of the council. So there's no way of making that somehow secret, as we need somehow a motion to be published, yeah?
Yeah, but it is only at the end of the voting when all the votes are in.
Indeed.
We make them public.
Indeed.
Actually, that raises the second point, and that is the thing that I'd like to think is easy to take now. This is the 50% criteria. Any election process that I have ever seen has great difficulty in ensuring that that people get to the 50%. So I've made a suggestion in a very late email, and it mirrors some of the discussion, that once the election process concludes and there are the three remaining or the three top candidates, that those three candidates en bloc, that is the 3-year, 2-year, and 1-year directors, be voted on in a separate affirmation vote by the Names Council. And
yep.
that vote must be more than 50%, otherwise the election fails. Agree?
Yeah, I think I expressed that. I had missed that part in your mail, sorry, but I think it's perfectly sound.
Anybody want any clarification of that?
I think this could take the sense of, you know, the final ballot saying, well, the Yenso appoints blah, 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 and this one is for 3 years, this one is for 2 years, this one is for 1 year, and this gets voted by the Names Council.
Exactly.
It could happen that then people change their mind and vote against what they had been voting before. But then, well, we have a problem, that's it.
then the election fails, and we have to...
Yeah, indeed.
This would be the simplest way of meeting the 50% affirmative vote requirement.
Yeah, and this somehow liberates the electoral process from this requirement.
Correct.
Can I ask a question, only because it's getting not necessarily convoluted, but somewhat complex for my feeble mind here. Would the disclosure of the voting... within the process be made prior to or after the ratification by the DNSO?
After, in my view.
And my view, too.
Yeah,
I think so. That's right. In other words, what I think, I agree, I think we're on track, and that is we're trying to remove any outside pressure on one to either modify or, quote, join the club. And the best way to do that is to just keep the process confidential as far as the way one votes until the process is completed. The most important thing is making sure that there is somebody who's managing the process and that people have confidence in to know that the process has been...
Yes, I have full confidence in our secretariat.
Sure.
Yes. May I ask a question?
Yes, please. Who's that?
Patricio.
Oh, Patricio, sorry. Yes, Patricio.
Yeah, the votes that will be made public, are all the votes casted by people during the whole process in case there are several rounds, or only the final, whatever that means, vote?
The whole vote, I would think, if it is a multi-round vote, then I think the whole process needs to be published.
I agree.
Okay.
So now what we have, let's just recap. I just make sure that everybody knows where we are. Whatever the election process is, it will be secret during the process. It will be scrutinized by our secretariat and indeed others if we want. The result will then will end up somehow with three candidates, one for 3 years, one director for 2 years, one director for 1 year, presumably candidates 1, 2, and 3 in order of election. There will be an affirmative vote, which will require 50% of the Names Council to affirm the results of the election. And if that vote succeeds, the whole process will be, all the voting will be published and the results published. If the affirmative vote fails, because people have changed their minds during the process, the whole election process fails.
That's what we've got to at this point. We have also got on the election process the following procedure, that the current suggestion will be re-put on the mailing list. We'll ask the Berthman Center to provide us with advice. We will try and close on the election process by close of business on Friday the 23rd, and in order to have a definite escape mechanism in case there's deadlock, Javier's proposal is the default out.
I think there's one item missing, that's the support of 10 members to each nominee, right?
Oh, yeah, so we discussed that earlier, so I'd left that out.
Okay.
There's
one more point about elections that we should look at. What happens if we don't have three candidates from three different regions? Should we make the nomination process longer?
It
won't happen.
No. No way that will happen.
Just work hard to make sure this doesn't happen. Yeah?
Impossible.
you heard Tony and YJ saying, no, it won't happen.
So we shouldn't contemplate.
There will be candidates from several regions.
Even seven candidates from several regions, indeed.
Okay, so then we do not contemplate that situation in the process.
No, I think that it's very easy.
No.
If finally, we only have two candidates. Probably the board would only accept two, because of the we have a vote here saying that we are electing from different regions. If we fail, we fail, and then we can only send two by now. That's our fault. Yeah.
Let me just take people from the region. I think I heard YJ there wanted to come in. YJ.
Yeah.
Did you want to say something on whether we need a process if we don't have three regions represented in the candidate?
Well, actually, I agree with Amadeo. Maybe we don't have to worry about it.
I don't think we have to worry about it. Does anybody else have to worry about it?
The other question is good candidates, yeah? But not candidates.
Amadeo, that's a different question altogether. All right, I think we've gone quite as far as we can go on the election process at this time. It is now three...
No. Sorry, I have two questions here. First, if we are supposed to take a decision by... Is Thursday 23rd?
Friday 23rd.
Of September?
Is it...
Then perhaps we should now schedule a teleconference on the 22nd?
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Or perhaps if Friday is 24th, we can schedule that for the 23rd, as people prefer.
Sorry, it's Friday the 24th. I beg your pardon. Friday is the 24th. So
why not on Thursday the 23rd? We should have the teleconference, right?
And we know it's a holiday in Barcelona.
On Friday the 24th, no problem.
This is the Spanish centric thing going here. Yeah, okay. I understand now.
No problem ruining the holidays. I mean, Friday the 24th at this time, perhaps? So we still have some hours after for using that?
That's fine. It doesn't mention that. Today's a holiday in Japan, and actually the 23rd is a holiday in Japan as well, so you get two in a row.
Hey, well, you guys, that means you'll have plenty of time in the holiday to be able to get on the phone, because you won't get distracted, see?
let's give ourselves some time, just in case we don't reach conclusions. I would suggest this time on Thursday the 23rd.
Yeah, because probably it will be a long and funny teleconference.
Well,
and probably we will need to reread some papers.
It may be very short or it may be very long. But
right.
It should happen before the deadline. So I would like to suggest the same time on Thursday the 23rd. That's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time or whatever it is in the U.S. at this time of year.
Just make sure that the next hurricane that's already hitting out from Africa goes north of Florida, so I can make it without all of this.
Oh, anyway, I'm flying tomorrow to Istanbul, you know, very known for earthquakes this time. So anyway, just make sure there's no earthquakes there as well.
All right. Names Council teleconference at 9 o'clock in the morning New York time on Thursday the 23rd for 2 hours.
Okay.
On a chair. I'll volunteer if anybody doesn't object, and if people...
Oh, you were already volunteered in Santiago. I told you that you were the chair until the next physical meeting for all the teleconferences. You accepted.
Yes. This is Ken Stubbs. If you would do me a favor, have an email for Werner Staub?
Werner Staub?
Yeah, do you know Werner?
I do, but I don't know that I can dig out an...
Okay, then what I'm going to do is, if you'll send me the information, just or have Elizabeth... Elizabeth knows Werner. Have Elizabeth call Werner. Core will taking care of the bridge on the teleconference for that. For you.
Okay. Okay, I'll email you.
And then once we get the budget, we'll all settle up.
All right. Listen, everybody, it's now 0 hours. Thank you very much. It's a long time. I appreciate all the effort.
Thank you, Dennis. One question.
Yes?
We have this teleconference for this, but are we deferring all the process on the electoral... decisions to Bergman and general discussion, or are we having a focal point trying to also document that and put all the proposals side by side and try to reconcile them? I mean, are we extending the electoral committee or something like that?
I do, but now we have literally run out of time, and I think we're going to have to continue this on the
mailing list.
The only thing I would say is that out of deference to Amadeo, that his agenda item that has been deferred twice now needs to receive a high priority for the next meeting.
Gotcha.
Oh, it could be done by email, perhaps. I will try to explain it longer by email, and we'll deal with in email on that, okay?
YJ, you were trying to come in?
I have some questions about, like, the permanent named council member selection.
Yeah.
Because I guess this might be more, time pressure than like the board members election, because as far as I know the schedule, like this permanent names council member should be elected until October 8th, right? Am I wrong?
Yep. No, you are not.
I think you are correct.
And then maybe we don't have enough time to think about this, and I guess this should be first, like, concerns before the board members, right? But we didn't even mention anything about those issues. But do you have any ideas what we are going to do with this permanent named council members election?
Well, first of all, this is primarily an issue for the constituency, and for the acceptance by the board of the bylaws and the processes. And the board has set the deadline of the 8th of October for that to conclude with new permanent names council member.
Just one thing. I asked it twice, during Santiago, and then on the mailing list, and I also asked it to be that included in the agenda, a report from each constituency saying whether they were running the elections or not, what was their schedule, whether they intended to apply for a waiver on the geographic diversity or not, and so far only the registered constituency has answered. Yeah. So I also encourage the rest of constituencies to explain us in a mail what they are doing or not. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the key issue I was going to go on to, that the Names Council should satisfy itself that it knows what is going on and that it is reasonably comfortable with what is going on.
Yeah, right.
It's really a matter for the board.
Uh-huh. And actually, I can tell about the non-commercial constituency situation. Maybe, as you might know, like, we don't have to elect this time, right? So, do you have another, information, maybe from ISP, or...
Can we do this on the email list?
Yeah, I think it sounds to me like people are getting pressure to get off the call, and I'm afraid that anything will be discussed at this point in time might be...
I see.
Well,
yeah.
Formally the conference ended because people did have to go and schedule. So I think we have to do this on the email. Let's be a little formal here. But take Amadeo's request. It needs to be answered.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Listen, again, thank you, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Good afternoon.
Thank you for...
Bye. Good afternoon.
Not so good.
Good night.
Good night. Goodbye. Good day.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.